God's people said? Amen. 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 Who's your one? That's what we're continuing in. Take your Bibles and be turning to Acts chapter 4 if we're going to begin out today. We're in our second message of this series of Who's Your One we're leading up to. Last week we talked about identifying. That's what we've been talking about the last week. Hopefully you've been trying to identify who God has on your heart to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that was our message last week and what we were going and what we were talking about. This week we're going to talk about intercession. It's one thing to identify something or someone, but it's another thing to get them to the point where they need to understand they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's not your job, okay? Today we're going to talk about intercession, and we need to realize that intercession means that we're praying for them. That's all it is, okay? We're praying to the Lord. We're not here to try to pick green fruit. God prepares people's hearts, and all we do is present the message, and people come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It's simple as that. Our part is going and telling people, and that's what we're talking about through this series. Hopefully you filled your card out. Mike has some more packets back there. If you wasn't here last week and you're just kind of getting in the middle of this, there's some packets back there that you need to get and have some cards on it and things. We took our cross. We're going to be at Transitions today and doing something at Transitions, so we took our cross down, and so it'll be back next week with some more cards and stuff like that. So this is what we're doing. This is the next few, about the next month, and we're going to be doing this different series here, and so I hope that you're getting plugged in. You're going to be getting texts about it. Mike's been putting some stuff on Facepage about it as we pray about who God is leading us to talk to, okay? Today we're talking about prayer, praying with power, praying with power. Look in Acts chapter 4, starting there in verse 23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they had heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Verse 26, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of the Lord Jesus, the holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God. If we talk about seeking out someone you put on our hearts, God, to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, God, to talk to them about you. So Heavenly Father, God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit, dear God, that give us the sensitivity to realize, God, who you're sending us to. God, you know every need. You know every situation that's going on in people's lives. God, you know who you're seeking after, Lord. And so, God, show us that person in our lives, the people that you've put around us. You have us with a circle of friends and family and coworkers, and God, you know that you're working in their lives, God. And God, you know who's ready to receive you as their Lord and Savior. So the day we come, Lord, asking you to let us know, God, but also, God, preparing their hearts that, God, they might be ready to receive you, Lord. God, that's their decision, God. That's your work, not ours. Our part is going, so help us realize that. So, God, let us realize today that, God, the most important thing we can do up to the point that we tell them about Jesus, God, is pray and ask you to prepare their hearts that they might be ready to receive your message, God. So show us this truth as we go through the Scriptures today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. In our opening, look what it says here. It says, do I know how to pray? Do I know how to pray? It's something that people ask about. How do you pray? Well, for some people, that's begging. They're just beggars is all it is. They think you've got to fall down and beat the ground and run around and hoop and holler and all that kind of stuff and beg God to do something. Well, praying is not trying to twist God's arm to try to get him to do something he don't want to do, okay? Some people try manipulating. God, if you do this, I'll do this. You ever tried that before? You know, God, if you do this, I'll do that. It's manipulating, okay? God knows your heart. Some of it's just selfishness where it says it's all about me. If you pray and it's all about you and what you can get out of God, then that's just being selfish, okay? So prayer is not all those things. We need to realize that prayer is communicating with God. It's asking him for his will to be done on earth and not my will to be done in heaven. That's the biggest thing. It's for his will to be done, not my will to be done. So when we talk about prayer, we need to ask it. We're going before God, and we're saying, God, you know more than I do, so God, we want it to work out how you want it to work out. Amen? That's prayer. That's faith is what we're having here. What you see here in this text here, we're kind of kicking in right in the middle here. Peter and John had been in jail. They had been testifying, and they'd gotten in some trouble, got put in jail, and then they got released, and now they go back to these folks here, and they began to lift up praise to God for them being released. I mean, you had a lot of folks that were mad about what they were doing because they were preaching about Jesus, and remember, the folks that they were telling us to was the ones that crucified him, okay? And so they had some not-so-nice things to say about him, but God had done some healing through them, and some things had gone on, and so now they're going around talking to people about Jesus Christ, and it's made the leadership of that day mad at them. And so now they go back, and they're praying, and they're praising God for what he was doing through their lives. And so what I want us to see through this prayer is what was going on in their life that should be going on in our lives to give them the power to do what they should do. So the same Holy Spirit that was in them is in us. Amen? We still have the same God. We still have, you know, Jesus. We still have the same Holy Spirit. And so why is our churches, why is our Christianity not as effective as theirs? Well, one thing it is we don't believe in the power of prayer. We put more stake in ourselves a lot of times than we do in the Holy Spirit of God. And so I'm going to tell you today this, that you know, you're not going to lead anybody to Christ that God's not seeking out. You need to realize that. And so if you twist somebody's arm, you try to get them to say something or pray a prayer that they don't really want to say, then it really didn't any good. We were talking this week about it, and I had a situation years ago. I had a friend of mine that worked with me at Colonial Rubber, and he was a man of God. He, you know, kind of lived a rough life and things, and so he seen the life kind of style I was living. So he's always asking me to go to church, and so I did. And I think I was telling Harold about this week. And anyway, so I went to church. He had a revival every day. He'd come to me, go to revival. Okay, so anyway, and I was taught to respect your elders and things like that. And he was always really nice to me and everything. And so I said, well, okay, I'm going to go. So I went home, told my buddy, you know, I'm going to this revival. He said, why are you going to what? I'm going to this revival down here. You know, I won't be gone long. Well, anyway, I got in the revival. I sat down in church, and the guy started preaching. Well, first of all, when he met me at the back door, well, I wanted to sit with him, so he was sitting on the second row, okay, somewhere I did not want to sit. I wanted to be back in the back, okay? But he got me right on the second row with him and his family, and man, they was all glad to see me and everything. This was the guy, evidently, I didn't know that he's been praying for, okay? I mean, I've been a source of his prayers for a long time. So I got there and the guy preached, and I can't remember what he preached on, and it was a Baptist church. And anyway, got the end of it, and so anyway, they had an invitation, you know, like any church, any good preacher does. He went down and started, you know, and so he started praying. The music was playing and everything was going, you know, and so nobody was responding and everything. So anyway, so he walks over to me, and he's standing there, and he kind of leans over the seat, and he says, son, do you want to go to hell? And I said, no. He said, well, you don't go to heaven? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, praise God, come on up here, you know. And he did. He walked around, grabbed my hand, drove me right up here to the front. I turned around, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah. You know, and everybody said, oh, praise God, you know, praise God. I'm thinking, what in the Sam Hill is he doing? You know, and I said, I'm just standing there, just like, you know, like, and so anyway, so, you know, and I, you know, I'm not a hugger, and everybody wanted to hug me, you know, and so anyway, I mean, they went through this deal, and I don't know what happened, okay? Still don't, and I've been a Christian for 30 years now, okay? Well, anyway, so I get back to Colonial Rubber, and I had a reputation, and I kind of liked it. You know, I was rough. I was a rough guy. You know, I was tough. You know, I hunt and fish and all that kind of stuff. Well, I go back with a boy that did it. He went around and started telling everybody we work with. Man, Brother Nate got saved last night. Nate got saved. Well, anyway, so, people start shaking my hand. Man, congratulations. I'm like, what? So finally, I catch him in the break room. I said, listen. I walked up to him. I said, listen, I don't know what you think happened last night, okay? But did nothing happen to me, okay? And so I don't want you to tell everybody that whatever you think happened to me last night, okay? And because nothing happened. And I could just see just the wind went out of him. Just, you know. And he didn't physically cry, but I think he was crying on the inside, you know, what happened to him. But so we're not asking nobody to do anything like that, okay? And we're not going to do it like that to anybody, okay? Because, listen, it's a personal choice that you make in your life where you want to see Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All our part is telling them how to be saved. Amen? And so just realize, we're not looking for people's experiences and things like that. So that really happened to me about 35, 40 years ago. That happened to me, and it was traumatizing, I guess you can see, okay? It took me 10 years later that I finally did get saved, okay? And so anyway, but that can happen to people. And so we're not asking you to twist anybody's arm and try to get them down, drag them down the aisle or anything. It's not like that. You don't need to realize that, okay? So you need to realize that that's what we're asking to do. But what I am saying is you need to identify that person that God's laying on your heart, because there's people out there that need Jesus, and God puts them around you, okay? And then the next thing you need to do is what we're doing. And you've got your prayer guide that you're going through, and hopefully you're going through that day by day. It's very simplistic. It takes you all of about a minute to go through it, okay? And then you fill in their names, okay? And then you go through it and pray for them. So today we're going to talk about prayer. What makes this prayer a prayer of power? What makes this prayer a prayer of power? I can't say that. A prayer of power. There we go. Man, okay. Excuse me on the front row there. Okay. The first thing is understanding God. It's understanding God. Okay. The first thing we look what it says here in verse 24 through 20, verse 30. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And then here we go. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And then he goes on, he talks about the rest of it. And here's some things I want to point out. The first thing is they understood who God was. What you need to realize, you need to understand God and the power of God. And the first thing he says, sovereign Lord. And what does that mean there? It means supreme ruler. It means master. It means authority. And then this word Lord here, as you see it spelt there, what you need to realize is this word Lord means what? Absolute master. He's the master. And so this is his business. All we're doing is being a part of his business. And so the first thing they did, they identified God as sovereign Lord. And then they see him as creator. Look also what it says there in verse 24. It says, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. So it sees him as the creator. So sovereign Lord. And then he sees him as the creator. And then as it goes on, it sees also in verse 25 through 28, it says, as in control, he's in control. Look what it says there in verse 25. It says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain and the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one? And then he goes on, he says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And says, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And so he's laying it out here. He's saying, you're the creator. You're in control of all this. And it says, and look what he says. He says, decided beforehand there in verse 28. And so what? It wasn't an act of man that Jesus was put on the cross. It was an act of God. God put him there for our sin's sake, for our needs, okay? So what does he say here? What do they see here when they understand God? Well, it says what? It says, you made, you spoke, and you decided. So it's all an act of God here. So the first thing we have to understand is when we get ready to pray, that our prayers are to God. And we're interceding for someone. Intercession means that I'm interceding on someone's behalf. And I'm saying, God, I need you to reach this person. I need you to touch this person. I need this person to hear you. And so what they were appealing to here, what we see it is they were counting on the attributes of God. And what are the attributes of God? What we talk about them? He is eternal. He's immortal. He says infinite, unchanging, all-knowing, all-powerful. And he's just and he's sovereign. His sovereignty. And their prayers were based on God's word and God's character. And that's what you have to do. You've got to say, God, I can't do this. And God knows that, okay? Last week we did what? Mission impossible. This is mission impossible without God showing up. So that's where prayer comes in. And so we have to ask God to be involved in this, okay? So a prayer of power starts by knowing and trusting in God more than ourselves. And it's in the conditions that are around us. This is what the devil's always going to do. You're going to look at the person and say, man, they're too far gone. They don't care. They're not concerned. You know, I don't. And so what happens is, you know, all the things around them a lot of times seems like that it's not right for them to be saved. They've got too many problems. They've got too many issues and things like that. But trust God in those situations. Trust God. Because a lot of us come to know the Lord through extreme situations. We had a problem in our life. We had a difficulty in our lives. And that was God getting our attention to what? For somebody else could tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't think about the conditions. Just go and tell people what God tells you to do, okay? And so if I'm to limit the concept of God, then it limits my prayer ability. And here's what, I read this a long time ago. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies beyond outside the will of God. Think about that. That's a quote, and I don't know who said it. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. And so listen, nothing lies outside the will of God, outside the power of God, unless it's outside the will of God. And here's how we know that God wants people to be saved. Listen to what it says here. And you need to have this written in your Bible. You need to have this marked in your Bible. 1 Timothy 2 and verses 3 and 4. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. And so that person that God's laying on your heart, you know that it's God's will for that person to be saved, okay? Because what it says right here, it says what? This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And so God wants them to be saved. And you need to run. So you're working with God here. God has a part and you have a part, and you're working with God. Salvation starts and ends with God, and you have to understand it. Then he says what? Now, Lord, what he says, enable your servants. It's what we're asking. We're saying, God, give me the boldness, and we're going to see that. Give me the courage to tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we see here is what made this a prayer of power is this, is that they had a unity in their prayer. In verse 24, you see there, it says, raise your voices together. And so they came together and they were unified. And that's what we're asking as a church, is let's get unified. And that's when we're putting the names upon the cross. That not only you're praying for that person, but we're praying for that person also. And we might not go through and name every name and all that, but still we're understanding it. We're praying for these people and asking God to do a work in these people's lives, okay? So they had a sense of unity there. And what they were doing, they were basing their prayer on Psalms 2, verses 1 through 12. They were looking at it here, and so they were doing what? They knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament, and they were saying, what? God, you've said this, and we're claiming this because it's in your word. Listen to what it says. Let me read you a little bit of Psalms 2, verse 1 through 12. It says, why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? It says, the kings of the earth take their stand and rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they said, and throw off their fetters. And what he's saying is, he's saying, why does people plot against the Lord? He says, what? Because God is a creator. He is sovereign. He is control. His will be done. Amen? His will be done. And so he's saying that. He's laying it out, saying it's silly for us to think that God's will is not going to be done. And so they found a unity in prayer. They believe God, and they believe God's word. And that's what gave their prayers power, is that they believe not only in God, they believe God. You hear me talk about that a lot. And I think I brought it up Wednesday night. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but do you believe God? And when you believe God, then you believe God's word. And when God says something, then you can believe it. You can take it to the bank because it's truth, and we need to realize that. And so what we're counting on is the same thing they were counting on. We're counting on God. We're counting on God's word, which we read there in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved, okay? And so we know that. So the person I'm praying about, I know that God wants that person to be saved. So I'm connecting with God here, okay? And so what we have to realize is realize the attributes of God, that he's loving, he cares, he's merciful, he's gracious. Regardless of what they've done, then God still loves them and he wants them to be a part of his family. And so that's where our power comes from. It's trusting God and trusting God's word, realizing that he's going to have to do the work in that person's life. And I told you last week, the only way you can fail in witnessing is just not to do it. Because why? When you're telling someone about Jesus, you've done your part. Regardless if they accept him or not, you've done your part. And you need to realize that. The third thing is this. They had a sense of urgency in their prayers. Look what it says there in verse 29. It says, now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They had a sense of urgency because why? That they did what? They knew that the leaders were going to go against them because why? They were the ones that crucified Christ. And they were preaching about this Jesus, that he was resurrected from the dead. And now they were preaching, they were talking about this Christ and how God had done a great work in their lives. And so they knew the leaders would go against them. And then pray like it all depends on God, but work like it all depends on us. That's the balance. When you get into the Bible, what happens sometimes, many times is people get out of balance. And so I have to pray like it all depends on God because it does, but then I have to do the work like it all depends on me because why? I have a part to play in that. I have to realize I have a part to play in this people's lives. I have something to put into the game. And what is that? That's my witness. That's my testimony. That's my story, my Jesus story. But it's my proclaiming the gospel, telling them about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. You know, those sheets that we gave you last week, I hope you use them. I want at least everyone in here to go through one. If you didn't get a sheet, there's some more out there in the foyer. It's our go and tell sheet, and that's what they're going to be doing at the transition. So I guess it was Thursday I went to the girls at transitions and I trained them how to go through the sheets. And many of you have been through the sheets before. You've seen the sheets and everything like that. It talks about how to lead someone to Christ and things. And what I asked you to do was this, is I said, well, I want you to find your one and I want you to go through that sheet with that person. Why? Because it does what? What did I tell you the hardest part was last week? Bridging over. You're sitting here talking about the weather and fishing and hunting and whatever you talk about, and then how do you bridge it over to a spiritual conversation? Well, that's the hardest thing to do. You know, you kind of say, well, man, you ever thought about God? You know, you thought about God lately? You know, that's kind of hard. So the thing is what I'm doing is asking you that way. What you can do is you can sit down and say, well, my pastor asked me to go through this sheet with someone. And would you do this with me? Okay. And if they're a family or a friend, most of them are going to say, yeah. Okay. Most of them say, sure. And that gives you the opportunity. It gives you the bridge into going through that sheet with them. And so I challenged the girls at Transitions last week. I said, I want you to go through at least one sheet with somebody in your family or someone in your circle of friends this week, you know. And they all seemed excited about it. Y'all don't seem as excited about it as they did, you know. And so let's get excited. Listen, it's an opportunity to do something, to tell someone about Christ. And I'm making the hardest part of it is bridging. I'm already giving you that opportunity there, okay? Why? Because you can say, my pastor asked me to do it. I won't say made me do it, but asked me to do it, okay? But the thing is we don't have a sense of urgency. Let me tell you what. I was in bed Friday night, and I don't dream a whole lot. I'm not a dreamer. If I do dream, I don't remember it, I guess, okay? But I had a dream. You know, I won't call it a dream. I call it a nightmare. And this is what I dreamed. I was dreaming that one of my boys died. Okay, I won't tell you which one because they might hear this, okay? But, you know, it wasn't any wishful thinking or anything like that. It was just one of my boys died. And I was so, you know how it's so real sometimes? And it was like I was going to the funeral and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I could look into the casket and see him there. And it was just horrible. And I don't know how, I mean, you know, he felt like he did it all night, but it probably wasn't just a little bit of time. But I remember waking up and feeling drained. I mean, I felt like somebody, you know, how if you've ever been through grief, it's a physical hurt as much as it is an emotional or spirit. It's like somebody, I mean, I felt like somebody just, I mean, I'm laying in bed, it felt like somebody just beat me with a stick. And man, the thing was, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, so I woke up and I never did go back to sleep, you know. And what I said was this, you know, I thought, you know, I'm going to use as an illustration Sunday because, I mean, what? The problem with a lot of us that not wanting to talk to someone about Christ is we don't have an urgency about it. See, we think we got tomorrow, and we think we got next week, and we think we got next month, and we think we got next year. But let me tell you what, don't nobody know. Don't nobody know, see? But let me ask you, the person that you say that you care and you love about, are you sure they're going to be here tomorrow? Are you sure they're going to be here next week? And then how are you going to feel if they're not? And you were told, you were asked, and you had the opportunity to go tell them about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what. You know, I've never lost a child, but I've been around people that have. But let me tell you what. A nightmare was enough for me. Amen? A nightmare was enough for me because I felt it was just a... And I woke up that morning tired. Because if you've ever been through grief, it's like you wake up for days on end. It's like, man, this is not true. This can't be real. This is just a nightmare. And then all of a sudden you wake up and it really is real. Well, see, when I woke up, it wasn't real. And I just took a deep breath. Thank you, Lord. You know, but you know what it did? It gave me a sense of urgency that it could be real, though. Amen? It could be real. And we don't need to, people's lives are at stake. What we're talking about here is things that are important. We're talking about eternal things, and we need to realize that and how meaningful it is for us to tell people about Jesus Christ and understand. And this is what I remember. I remember standing at the casket. What do you say? What do people say? I mean, you know, you've been there, you know, people say some of the craziest things and everything. But this is what I said when people would come by. I said, but I know he's saved. I know he's saved. Let me tell you what. When I woke up, I realized that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. If he has ever accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and my son, I know he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when I stood beside that casket, me and his mom and people walked by, that's what I was telling him. I know he's saved, and I know where he's at. Amen? And one day I'm going to see him again. Amen? Some of you folks in here has lost children. You've lost some people that's really close to you. That's what our hope is. Amen? We're going to see them again. And we're going to get to spend eternity with them. Amen? We're going to get to spend eternity. And so it's important. And it doesn't really, you don't see the importance of that until someone you care about's gone. Something's lost. And you don't realize that. I guess I can thank God for that dream because what? Because it gave me a sense of urgency to what? I got up the next day and I've got two people. That's my one. I got two ones, okay? And I prayed a little harder that day. Because why? Because I don't know about their salvation. I don't know where they would go if they die. And it made me have a sense of urgency about me and saying, why? That I have an important task here to do. Because why? Because I don't know where these people would go if they died. And if they died, I'd be at their funeral. But I don't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say. I remember a long time ago, Mona, years ago, she's not here, so I talk about her. And so anyway, she had a guy she worked for. And she kept asking me to pray for him. I said, okay, I'll pray for him. And she said, I want you to pray for him. I don't think he's saved. And I knew him too. And anyway, they worked together. And anyway, Mona finally quit the job and went to another job. And so she never really said it. She didn't see him that much. Well, about 2 or 3 months after Mona left that job, he died. And I remember going to the funeral home because I knew the family and I knew him and everything. And I'm going to tell you, if Mona was here today, she would tell you it haunts her to this day that she didn't tell him about Jesus, because she knew that God was laying on her heart to tell him about Jesus Christ. See, Mona didn't know he was going to be dead in 6 months, but God did. See, God did. So when God is laying somebody on your heart, you need to realize there's a reason for it. See. You might not know what's going on, but God does. And there needs to be a sense of urgency about us when we pray, because why? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the time. We don't know the situation. So they had a sense of urgency here, and we have to have a sense of urgency about our prayers also. The next thing is, the last thing is, the four is the results of prayer with power. It says, after they prayed, look there in verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Boy, that'd be kind of, scary, I guess. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. And here's the word I'm talking about, boldly. And so they were praying for boldness. And it goes on in verse 30, and it says they began to speak with boldness. And you know what? Listen, it caught the people's attention. It caught the people's attention because they said, here's the folks that was running at one time. Now here they're coming back, and now they're speaking with a sense of boldness. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit inside of them. We do too. If you're a Christian here, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He'll give us that sense of boldness, okay? It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with boldness. And that's what you need, and that's what I need, to speak the truth with a sense of boldness. And God will give us what we need to speak the gospel to the person that He's put in our place. And He's given us the opportunity. I told you last week that I was trying to get ahead of you. I had the one guy, and I go by and see him from time to time at his business, and so I got my sheet, and he's one of my family members, and I've known him for a long time, and so he knows me, and I know him, and all that kind of stuff, and it's not a bad thing. That's hopefully a good thing. And so, man, but I remember going over to, man, I was praying. I said, oh, God, make the, because he has workers. And so, I needed to be alone with him and thing. And so I said, God, you're going to have to make this all work out. But when I pulled up to the place, I mean, his truck was gone. And everybody, they were all gone. And so I just sat there and prayed. I said, well, God, this must not have been the moment. It must not have been the time, okay? And this week I didn't get to back by there. But, I'm trying to keep dropping by his business. And hopefully God's going to give me that opportunity. If it's his time to be saved, God's going to open that door for me. Amen? I ain't got to make the situation. I just got to show up. I just got to be willing to show up at the situation. And God will just clear the room for you to tell someone about Jesus Christ. And so look at the results here, what they're saying here. God will give us what we need. And so God empowers his people to speak truth. And so what's the sequence here, okay, when we do this? Well, first of all, we need to identify that person. This is the person, this is the people that God's wanting me to talk to about Jesus, okay? Then we need to begin to pray. And you need to pray a lot more than you need to talk to them, okay? You need to pray for them. You need to be praying for them. You need to do a lot more praying than you do talking to them, okay? So pray. And the next thing, you need to speak truth. You say, well, my lifestyle is a witness for me. Well, your lifestyle is not going to get them to Jesus, okay? They might see something in you, but what you need to do, the gospel is what's going to lead people to Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel. That's the good news. They need to hear that. That's how they're saved, okay? And then what else after that? You need to do what? You need to leave the results to God. When you do your part, you leave the results to God, okay? You just walk away and say, God, I've done my part now. I'm praying, and you continue to pray for that person. And then if another opportunity comes along, you might talk to them again about the Lord. You give them a track. You give them different things. See, I'm one of these. I've always got tracks in my pocket, okay? So I'm always leaving things. I'm leaving tracks that people are around on their desk and things like that. Why? Because the Bible says the Word of God doesn't go back void, okay? So if they read it, then it has an effect on their lives. And so I'm always planning to do what? Trying to reach people for Christ. Because why? Because, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And the church is here to do what? To get in the way of that. We are on a mission. We talked about it. We're on a mission, and it's our mission. And we need to be busy about what God's called us to do. And so look in closing. Do I pray with power? When you pray, do you think it gets above the ceiling, or you just say, well, I don't pray because I don't think it does any good? Well, that's saying something about you. It's not saying anything about God, okay? It's saying more about you. The lesson to learn today is prayer changes things. And the application today is this, is prayer is an act of love. When there's a lot of things I can't do for you, but one thing I can do for you is pray for you. And I had a guy walked up to me here not long ago. And he said, Brother Nathan, he said, I pray for four pastors every week. And he said, I want you to know that you're one of them. Now, let me tell you, that meant a lot to me. I hadn't seen this guy in about 3 or 4 years. And I ran into him at his restaurant somewhere. And he walked up to me. I know him. I'm an acquaintance with him. And he said, he told us we went on a mission trip together. And he told me we went to Mexico, okay? I've been to Mexico several times. And so I guess he was one of the group one time, okay? And so he just said, you know, I went to Mexico with you. And, you know, we went on a mission trip. And he said, you got up and spoke. And he said, ever since then, I wrote your name in my Bible. And he said, you and three other people, pastor's name are in my Bible, and he said, I want you to pray. I want you to know that I pray for you at least once a week, and sometimes more than that. And I said, praise, man, pray. And I walked away, and I thought, man, somebody's praying for me. Amen? Let me tell you what, I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. And so, the next day I was sitting at a restaurant, and one of the ladies, a friend of ours, Pam Mayberry, she's become the mayor of New Bern. And so you see on our prayer sheet, you see our government and you see the different ones. Well, Pam's name on there. So I saw Pam, so I walked up to her and she said, hey, Nathan. I said, well, congratulations, I guess. No, I didn't say that. But when anybody gets into government, you can kind of guess. But I said, I want you to know one thing. I said, I pray for you 5 days a week. Almost every week, 5 days a week, I name your name in prayer and praying that you're going to be a godly leader. And she said, well, I really appreciate it. You know why I did that? Because the man the day before that reminded me of how important it is for us to let people know that we're praying. I can tell you one thing. If your name's on that prayer sheet, I pray for you. 5-6 days a week, I pray for that prayer sheet. Almost every week, I pray. So if your name's on there where you're a leader, where you've got something, a prayer request, or you put a family member or something on it, let me tell you what. Nobody else in here might not be praying, but I'm praying. Amen? And I challenge you to do the same thing because, why? We never know when we're going to have testimonies like that. Amen? Because we believe in the power of prayer. Why? Because we believe not only in God, we believe that God can do something in people's lives. I can't, but he can. So if you're going to lead anybody to Christ in the next month or the next 2 or 3 weeks, let me tell you what, you better get to praying. Because he can do a lot more than you ever can in a short amount of time. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, thanking you for the opportunity of prayer. God, that's our communication to you. And God, you want to communicate with us, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you for the people that in our lives that we have praying for us, Lord. And I know that people have told me that before. And God, help me to let them know how much it means to me for them to covet their prayers. Because, God, I know that I can't do anything without you, Lord. But, God, none of us can. And we need to realize that. And so when we get into this area of evangelism, we know that it can be scary. It can be intimidating. But, God, we pray today for a sense of boldness. God, we pray, dear God, for an opportunity. We pray, dear God, that you go before us and you work in that person's heart and in their mind and you prepare them to receive the message and to accept the message and be saved, Lord. God, salvation is your work, not ours. We just have a part to play, and our part is to go and tell someone. And so, God, let us be diligent about telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to identify who that one is in our life. And then, God, help us to intercede for that person over these few weeks and even on past that, God. But more than anything, let us be willing to tell them, God, about your love, your mercy, your grace. And what you've done in our life is what you're willing to do in their lives. And we praise you for that today. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus and amen. Well, maybe you're sitting here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, let me tell you what, I've prayed for you this morning. I can tell you that. And some others have prayed for you because we always pray, God, if there's anyone in this congregation, anyone in this room today who's never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day of your salvation. So that prayer may have been for you today, okay, if you're not saved. But maybe you need somebody to pray for you or pray with you today. You might have an issue in your life and you need somebody to pray. Well, you come forward today and I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's some other situation. And maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. But if you have a need in your life, you come before us. Let's all stand, okay? Thank you.